Let's talk about something that has been a big city issue. You know, when we talk about Seattle and bike share, we talk about it failing. Remember Pronto? What are we going to do with Pronto? Do we rescue it? Do we expand it? Oh, it's collapsed. But Gabriel Scheer and Derek Coe are not giving up on bike share. They look at Seattle and its hills and rainy weather and bad drivers. They look at all of that and they see dollar signs and they see a chance to make the city easier to get around. They are both betting that private bike share companies are going to make it in Seattle because Gabriel Scheer is the director of strategic development for Lime Bike and Derek Coe is the co-founder and CEO of Spin. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks
Good
for having
be here.
Us.
I want to start our conversation with a comment from one of our listeners. Ben says, there's already a significant bike culture here, and the relatively low cost of a bicycle makes the barrier to ownership low. Most of the Pronto users I saw were tourists with looks of regret on their faces as they lugged heavy bikes up hills. So Ben wants to know, who are these new bike share systems for? If you want a bike, you have a bike, right? Or not?
Yes. I think that's a great question. I'll speak as somebody who owns a bike and rides it every day, here in Seattle specifically. And for me, I was a member of Pronto from the beginning and re-upped my membership. And the way I used Pronto was often in the middle of the day. It would be easier to take it to a meeting if I was, for example, working in sort of the Midtown area and I had a meeting in Pioneer Square or a lunch somewhere or something like that. I would use it like that. I would also imagine it being kind of a first last mile solution. So if you imagine light rail, Columbia City or Othello or something, people right now might be taking a 3/4 mile to a 1.25 mile drive to that station, and that's causing more congestion, more cars on the streets. I would imagine some people supplanting that with a bike-based trip, which are people who live here in town. I think tourists, sure, that's definitely one. And you know, one of the things you saw with Pronto was you could rack up a fairly large bill over the course of a few hours because you didn't return it in the 30 minutes. And with ours, and I know Spin as well, you know, it's 30 minutes equals $1, and you just keep doing that. And so while it doesn't necessarily work for everyone, the costs will be considerably lower, I think.
Derek Coe of Spin, do you have any more thoughts on why Pronto bike share failed in this town?
Part of it is definitely due to the station-based model. And
everybody doesn't know, so yeah, what's the station-based model and what's your alternative?
Yeah, so station-based model is what you saw with Pronto, where you got to pick up a bike from a station and drop it off at a station. Much like you would take a bus, you have to know the schedules, you have to know where to pick it up and where you got to get dropped off. Spin, and likewise Lime Bike, are stationless in that you can pick up a bike anywhere through mobile apps, scan it, drop it off anywhere where it's legal to park a bike. Like yesterday, I was traveling from around Belltown down to City Hall for the Bike Advisory Council meeting, and I was in a car.
It's your first mistake.
Yes. And this was at like 5:30. If I had a Spin bike, I'll just take it, pick it up, ride it down, and just leave and not have to worry about where I where the stations are or where I would have to park the bike.
Okay, is Lime Bike and Spin, these are two kind of contestants in the new space of bike share, are you doing basically the same thing, exactly the same thing? Is one of you better than the other?
That we are doing very much the same thing with a similar model. There are differences in terms of the types of bikes we're using, how they're built, the gearing. You know, we have an eight-speed gear on our bikes. It's an in-hub shifter. So we've done things a little differently that way, and that's a bike we built specifically for Seattle. So we've launched in 4 other cities now, and those 4 other cities don't have that 8-speed. We did that specifically because of the hills here. Again, I ride on those hills every day, so I'm very familiar with the effort it takes. I think from a pricing model perspective, we're doing very much the same thing. And I think that the thing that is exciting to me about all this is Pronto had 500 bikes at its peak. And between the two of us, we're required to launch with around 500 bikes from the get-go. So already we're doubling what Pronto had ever. And the thing that's really cool about that, Derek kind of touched on this, but if you imagine Pronto when it was basically South Lake Union, the U District, Little East Lake, Little Capitol Hill, and downtown, let's say you wanted to go to Ballard. You can't. There's no station there. So you hop on a bike and you're stuck. So people wouldn't use it, right? And it wasn't a viable alternative to other means. So to Derek's point, hop in a car, hop on a bus if you can get a bus from where you're going to and from, but those still get stuck in traffic. And what this allows both of us to do is free that, right? Let people ride wherever.
If there's no station to return the bike to, are we just hoping that the users return the bikes to responsible places and, you know, get them out of the middle of the sidewalk, et cetera,
sure,
where they'd be lying
yeah,
all over
I mean,
the place?
I think, look, what we would say is, like, treat our bikes like you treat your own bikes. This is a good thing for Seattle. We are making the price points very affordable. Treat our bikes with respect. Park it responsibly. Park it how you park your own bike. And let's just make bike share work in Seattle.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you used the word responsible, and I think you're absolutely right on that. I mean, the city's guidelines on parking are pretty clear, but the word responsible kind of sums it up. Put it in a space where it's not going to block anybody. It's not going to provide an impediment to travel, whether it's pedestrian travel or car travel. Don't put it somewhere dangerous. Don't put it somewhere in someone's private property that they don't want it. I mean, I think all these things, again, fall into that kind of responsible, you know, thoughtful behavior.
We asked KUOW listeners on Facebook, what would make bike share work better for you? And Camille was not alone in saying, quote, if all the steep hills in Seattle suddenly became flat, you may think your system is better than Pronto, but what can be done about Seattle's geography?
Well, nothing. Thank goodness, because we wouldn't have the views that we have if we didn't have that amazing topography and geography. I think that both of us are working to build a bike that is the best it can be for the city. From a weight perspective, you mentioned the weight of Prontos and lugging those around. Ours are about 20 pounds lighter than the Pronto bikes were, so that is a piece of it. We also have, as I mentioned earlier, an 8-speed in-hub gearing, and we've also worked really hard on the gear ratio to make it so that hills are less daunting. It's not going to take them away, and it's not going to make everyone want to ride up them. Queen Anne Ave will never be a fun ride for a lot of people, but we're trying.
Like Gabriel said, we can't change the topography of the city, but we can do whatever we can to make it easier for riders.
Our views beat Iowa's views.
They're different views.
Different. Not better, not worse, just different. Now, how much of a concern is Seattle's helmet law to either one of you?
Well, like the way we look at it is that we will do everything in our power to require the user to acknowledge they're wearing a helmet, just like how if you go in a car to go, by law you have to wear a seatbelt, but a car can still start without a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
So much really following common sense kind of approach to using helmets.
Can bike share work with a helmet law? Because I've seen some bike advocates say, no, that's a problem.
Well, I think you're asking a great point, and I completely second everything Derek just said. I mean, safety is priority for both of us for reasons both human and also business, right? Like, safety is really, really critical. We want people to wear helmets, but ultimately, you're right, we can't put them on them. That said, I think when you talk about whether we can coexist with a helmet law, there's some really interesting questions, and the city is framing this as a pilot. We're both going into this knowing that we operate till the end of the year, assuming we operate by the rules, but the city may end up changing things. And one of the things I'm sure they're watching, and you could ask the city this, but is what does the helmet law mean? And the really cool thing, and I think we both feel this way about this pilot, is the city's going to be collecting through the UW a lot of data on the rides that are being taken, customer service complaints, any kind of accident reports, etc. So they're going to be able to make a very different assessment, I think, of safety as relates to bikes. Infrastructure that might be missing or that might be needed, infrastructure that exists and how well it's performing because of the data that this pilot is going to enable. And so to me, that's one of the big pieces that maybe down the line we have to have a different conversation as relates to helmet laws. I think it's responsible and smart to wear a helmet, but maybe that's a different conversation with different kinds of data available.
Final question from Facebook. Roxanne writes, wanting people to rely on bikes in a rainy, hill-filled city is some seriously ableist bullhinky. The idea that a significant part of car use will be replaced by cycling is just not realistic. What do you say to Roxanne, who is not going to give up her four wheels for two or two legs for two or however she does it?
And I would say to that I don't expect everyone to give up four wheels for two. What I would say is that increasingly what we find in Seattle is gridlock all over the place. You go to the Mercer Mess any time of day almost, it's starting to feel backed up. I-5 is starting to look congested almost around the clock. And so to me, we're not going to get everyone out of cars, and we're not trying to. What we're trying to offer is a viable alternative such that when you need to make that trip from Belltown to City Hall, as Derek did yesterday, you have an option. And biking's not for everyone. It's not going to be a one-size-fits-everyone solution, but I think it'll add value to the city in a city that desperately needs more transportation mobility.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, look, Seattle's a growing city. Congestion is getting worse year on year. More cars are coming in, more people coming in. I think the greatest enemy to the development productivity of a city is single car occupancy. And by us offering an alternative to driving, will not only provide more options to people, but it also make drives a lot more pleasant. The more people you get off the roads and on cars, the better everything will be.
Derek Coe, co-founder and CEO of Spin, Gabriel Scheer, Director of Strategic Development for Lime Bike. Good luck to you both.
Thanks.
Is it only one bike share can survive, or can you both win?
I mean, Derek mentioned Reach Now and Car2Go earlier. Yep. I don't see any reason why we can't coexist. In fact, we're excited because I think we'll push each other to improve.
Yeah, I think ultimately consumers will win.
Okay, well then maybe you'll exist in tandem.
I'm riding a stolen bike down Damon Avenue.
Riding a stolen bike. That's exactly what a KOW listener was thinking. Fedora just tweeted to us, I have high hopes for the city's new bike stealing pilot program. Which is a fair question. Fedora, thank you for that. You might wonder about what stops a person from ripping off a bike that somebody left sitting on the sidewalk after their ride. Well, Derek told me nothing actually stops them, but the bikes can sense when they're being moved while they're locked. So the bikes let out a loud, annoying beep, which is meant to deter or scare off the thieves. Both companies' bikes, Lime Bike and Spin, just hit the streets this week. It's a pilot program. City Council is going to watch how those bikes get used. So if you believe in bike share, then you might want to vote with your feet. And please don't steal bicycles. And finally, here's another reaction I'm seeing from a KOW listener on Twitter. Katie tweets, I'll start using a bike share when it comes with a battery, a roof, and body armor. Thanks, Katie. Thanks for tuning in to KOW Seattle and joining us on Twitter at KOW. I'm Bill Radke. This is The Record.